In the name of Jesus, welcome. Welcome especially those of you who are guests among us this day. God bless you with the peace, light, and love of Christ Jesus that we as people of Queen Anne Lutheran experience each time we gather in God's name. At this time, I invite you to rise as you're able in body or spirit for the gathering hymn.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. Genesis 2 stresses that people are not meant to live in isolation, but in relationship. Out of love for humanity, God creates them male and female to provide companionship for each other and to become with each other one flesh. The Hebrew words used here are ish, man, and ishah, woman. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." Word of God, word of life. Please join me in the choir in reading the psalm responsively. O Lord our God,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You, whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children.
You have set up the waters against your enemies, silenced the foe with an engine.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that are set in their courses, what are your mortals that you should be mindful of? Human beings that you should care for.
Yet you have made them little less than divine, with glory and honor. You crowned them.
You made them rule over the first two lands. You have all things under their feet. All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord our God, the epistle reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. Quoting from the Psalms, this passage from Hebrews emphasizes that Jesus, the one through whom God created everything and who sits at God's right hand, is also the one who experienced human suffering and death in order to blaze the path of salvation for us. A reading from the book of Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory in the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now, God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels. But someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, 'I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.'" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you.
Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." And then in the house, the disciples ask him again about this matter. "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Jesus' response to the question about divorce reveals himself to be the true interpreter of God's word. He doesn't get rid of the Hebrew Torah, nor does he say that the law is fine just as it is. But what he does do is give depth to it. He opens up its deeper meaning. From the first book of Moses to the final book of Zechariah, families have turned against one another. Cain and Abel, Joseph and his brothers, and the stories go on and on. And so families obviously cannot be counted on for social stability any more than can the Pharisees or the empire who would arrest and kill Jesus and then persecute his followers. I think it's significant that Jesus comments about children as well as divorce, because the two topics are related. And the issue has to do with the obligations of society to its most vulnerable members. Here's the point of law. It's the structuring of human society necessary for life together. If our corporate actions go unregulated, the strong will thrive, and the powerless will suffer. Divorce has to do primarily with providing a safe environment for women who, like young children, may need defenders in the world of the wealthy and strong, and from those who embody a petrol masculinity. Why, even Joseph, when Mary had been engaged to him, but before they lived together, was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and he didn't know that, had already resolved to dismiss her quietly, because he was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace. He knew how bad it would be out there for her as a young pregnant woman. Our Christian life is lived in the midst of a broken world, and believers are by no means exempted from the forces that tear at the most basic relationships. And that many experience the world as hurtful is not surprising. The civil rights attorney Brian Stevenson begins his monumental book, Just Mercy, with a quote from the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. Love is the motive, but justice is the instrument. Love is the motive, but justice is the instrument. And with God's love and spirit and power in us and through us, we can live better. And in these times, we must live better. The presence of God in the church doesn't make the law disappear, but it makes it more embedded in our lives. Now it's a part of our hearts, and not just something on the outside in some book that we're called to follow. There is one vulnerable child of God in our midst. Not only in our midst, on our property. And if you were to come over here and open up this last window and look down, you will see the top of a tarp where Wayne lives. He occupies about 2 feet from the backside of our church building, maybe 7-8 feet this way. He has a sleeping bag, some blankets, a pillow, and paperbacks, some in French. Some of you may not know that he has been living there for over 6 years on the church grounds. No beer cans, no wine bottles, no syringes. He's 77 years old. Works full time at a nursing home up north where he showers every day. Grew up on Queen Anne. Went to school all his life on Queen Anne. And cannot afford to live on Queen Anne. Unfortunately, one of the neighbors phoned the city inspector because now she's afraid. So a timeline has been set by the city inspector. And good, dear people like Susan Evans and Barb in the church office have come together also with our executive committee folks and have been working with a social worker through Catholic Social Services to help find him an affordable, safe place for this time in his life. So you'll see in our prayers, Wayne. That's Wayne. He lives right there. All of this doesn't make God's word and God's life easy to live. Sometimes our thinking, our intentions, and our behavior get off track. Ruth Graham was married to the old-timey evangelist Billy Graham. I don't agree with much of what he did in his life, especially the burning of Beatles records. But Ruth Graham was once asked in an interview if, in her long marriage, if she ever considered divorcing him. And she said, "Well, I've never considered divorce, but on several occasions I have considered homicide." Yeah, that's keeping it real. Our lives are lived in the midst of a broken world. And the proper response, I believe, is to ask how God deals with brokenness, which is, of course, the main theme of Jesus' life and teaching. Those who are well have no need of a physician, Jesus told his pious critics, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And Jesus gives his life as a ransom. Crucial here is that God, who created and sustains the world, is committed to the well-being of the human family, which means a particular attention to those who are most vulnerable. Laws regarding divorce, like laws regarding children's rights, remain necessary for the protection and well-being of families, regardless of their makeup. And the Jesus who makes such statements tells elsewhere that even these most basic social units may fail, that there is mercy and a place for the broken. Now, that mercy doesn't obscure God's intention that the world is to be a place where trustworthy relationships are cultivated and encouraged and blessed. The Eucharist that we celebrate today is the power of God's real presence being brought into our lives again and again. This feast of love is here to make us not just better adherents to God's word found in a book, but more loving people in this world as we strive for a just mercy for all people. In Jesus' name, amen. In our baptism, Jesus has lifted us up into his arms, has touched and blessed us, that as children of God, we may confess our faith in hope and trust. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ.
You may be seated or kneel for the prayers of the church. Challenged by God's word in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and the whole creation. God of our ancestors, we give thanks for the church in all times. May we listen for the prophets of this age who bear messages that stir the church toward renewal and justice. Lord, in your mercy. Creator of every creature on earth, direct our lives toward the renewal and sustaining of cattle, birds of the air, animals of the field, and those who share our homes. Reveal the ways we can work alongside creation for the health and well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign God, we give thanks that you are mindful and benevolent to even us mere mortals. Accompany us when hardness of heart gets in the way of justice between people and nations. Endow leaders with minds for justice and hearts for compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Restoring Lord, grant healing and wholeness to those who are sick and suffering. Work through medical professionals to diagnose, ease pain, and give life to all who seek their wisdom and experience. Lord, in your mercy. Unifying God, humans were created for relationship with the earth, its creatures, and one another. Forgive us when division threatens companionship, mutual support, and unity among us. May your love inspire us to build supportive communities of faith where all are cherished. Lord, in your mercy. For whom and what else do the people of God pray? Hear our prayer. God of loving kindness, we pray that you bless each person present here today, that you accompany them in their joys and sorrows, that you empower them with faith in the face of trials, and that you give them the spirit of goodwill towards others. We pray also for Pastor Dan, for Bruce's family, for Valerie's family, for Pat's family, for Wayne, for Leah, for Angie and Jessica, for James, Allie's friend, Sarah, for Jackie and Dylan and their families, for Kurt, Lisa, and Malachi, for Eunice, for Bill, for John's family, Samuel and Zion and their mother, for Scott, for Beckett, for Almaz, Awatosh, and Milgeta, for Matt's mother, Jean, for Finley, Jean, Jan, Richard, Barb, and Hilda. Lord, in your mercy. God of resurrection, you prepare a place in the kingdom through Christ's death and resurrection. We give thanks for the saints who have taken their place at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the saving grace you freely give, both now and forever. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with your neighbor.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is our duty and delight that we should everywhere and always offer thanks and praise to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, who took little children up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. And so, with the church on earth, all creation and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy are you, God of power and might, heaven and earth, full of your glory.
In the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given into death for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Knowing that we are loved, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, all are welcome. Come and taste the joy of God. We'll commune the choir first on that side. Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. Tomorrow morning, I'll be flying out to Milwaukee. My mother celebrated her 84th birthday yesterday, and she's fiercely independent and sassy, and probably by the fourth night, she'll be glad I'm only staying for five. So thank you for that. It's also a chance for me to, you know, make a wellness check on my mom and see if her living situation is still working for her. So be prayerful for that. I understand that the congregation has in its past celebrated Oktoberfest, but last month the council decided, no one really stepped up to make it happen. Well, today is officially the final day of Oktoberfest. We just got word from Munich that today. Now, while there, you will not find beer or pretzels at fellowship following the service, there may be some live German music to inspire someone to pick up the lead for next year's Oktoberfest celebration. Kyle has a good word for us today.
End of the month, October 27th, is Reformation Sunday. And in addition to our morning services here, I hope to see each of you and friends and family as well at a special Vespers, a choral Vespers at 4 p.m., on Sunday, October 27th. Some of you know, some of you may not know, that our Lutheran heritage of music is one of our big exports to the world, to the concert stage, whether it's Japan or Russia or Brazil. You will find music by Lutheran composers, including Dietrich Buxtehude, who you will hear some works of his, as well as Hugo Distler. Buxtehude was somebody that Bach looked up to back in the 1600s, 1700s. Hugo Distler lived in the 20th century and was very conflicted about how to be a church musician during the Third Reich. And you'll hear some music of his setting one of the original Lutheran hymns in a sort of old meets new way. So besides that, we'll have some hymns, some congregational responses, much of the service out of ELW. So it should be a great service. We'll have some guest instrumentalists, some string players, as well as the Queen Anne Choir. And we'll also be joined by some freelance singers as well who will form a festival choir. So it should be a big day, and really hope to see you all there. Thanks.
Thanks, Kyle. I wanted to introduce you to this wonderful student among us, Jay. Jay, would you please come up? Jay is in her second year at SPU studying nursing. Originally from Auburn, and now is looking after our little ones in the nursery on Sunday morning. So we are glad you're here. And we want to bless her and her time among us. As we heard this morning and throughout the scriptures, as we follow the life of Jesus, he came among us to be a servant, calls us to faith and a life of loving service to our neighbor. Jay, you come among us as one committed to be an associate in ministry here, a gift from God to inspire us to love and serve Christ. A reading from Romans. As in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Jay, in the presence of this assembly, will you commit yourself to this new trust and responsibility in the confidence that it comes from God and through the invitation of this church? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you carry out this ministry in accordance with God's word and in harmony with the way we've organized ourselves? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Okay. And you, people of God, will you receive Jay into this nursery ministry as one called and sent to serve all people in Christ's name? If so, answer, we will, and we ask God to help us. Will you pray for her, help and honor her for her work's sake, and in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ? If so, answer, we will, and we ask God to help us. Almighty God, who has given you all the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them. And I, for one, will say I would love Jay to be my nurse. Steady hand. Cheerful disposition. And a very bright, bright young woman. So please be prayerful for her studies and her time with us. All right. Thank you, Jay. Please rise as you're able for a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.